It's here.
Who's bending down to give me a rainbow? Everyone knows it's the 95 BFM Small Top 10. Take it away, Amelia.
I mean, look, I'll think about it. I'll think about it for next time. But I love the mistake more than I love the knowledge. It is the 95 BFM Small Top 10. I'm joined this evening by Marika. Marika, hello.
Hello, how's it going?
I'm going great. It's lovely to have you here all the way up from Pōneke. Would you like to tell the people a little bit about yourself, apart from that fact that I've already just like slipped in there sneaky?
Well, I'm up visiting Tamaki Makoto for Pride Week.
Awesome.
Yeah, I've been in some performances at Albert Park with Queer Pavilion and the Mega Pesh Action crew, the performance art ensemble.
Sounds full on.
Yeah, I've been doing a performance like every day since like Saturday.
Wow. Well, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come up to do the small top 10.
It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure to be here.
Yeah. It's nice to do something a little bit frivolous from time to time.
Yeah.
So would you like to tell the people? I mean, you can tell by the text, people are keen. They want to know. They need to know the theme
of the top 10. Yeah. Or do I do it all in once or just tell them what the theme is?
Say what is the topic? Okay. What's it a top 10 of?
Because it's actually like, it's really hard for me to order things in a hierarchy. It's just letting everyone know in advance. I have challenges with hierarchies. I'm a communist. It's not in my nature. I'm not usually as bureaucratic.
We'll call it a flat top 10.
Okay. But the top 10 is quite personal. It's the top 10 places that I've been to which have a spiritual or other type of significance in my life.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So it's pretty specific. It's pretty personal. It's, you know, if you want to be broad, it's a travel top 10. Oh. Top 10 where they've traveled to in
like
the space-time continuum.
Sick. I'm so ready. Okay, I'm gonna play this sting and that's gonna be your intro for number 10. Are you ready?
Okay. I haven't even got number 10 yet.
Damn.
Okay. Mount Victoria.
In Wellington.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's actually been coming. We've had quite a few guests from Wellington recently. Oh. So we've been talking a lot about Mount Vic.
Oh, that's cool.
A lovely Mount Vic. What's so special about Mount Vic?
Well, it's where I was born and where I grew up, and it's where I still live now.
You're a native Wellingtonian.
So Matairangi is the Māori word, Māori word for Mount Victoria, and yeah, that's why it's special to me.
I mean, you can't get much more special than where you were born, can you?
No, it was like I'd always say that mountain in my mihi when I was a kid.
Oh, that's
te
nice.
Matairangi te maunga, you know?
I said that and then I just thought where I was born is North Shore Hospital. And that probably wouldn't be on my list, but I think a mountain's nicer than a hospital.
I was technically born in Wellington Hospital, technically.
We'll say it was the mountain. I like that more. All right.
Okay.
9.
Oh my god, I haven't even written number 9 yet. Okay, I have to be spontaneous now.
I like this dedication to not putting them in order. You're just like, I'm going to throw them out and we'll pick them up as they come.
Okay, I'll go with Paris.
Oh, Paris. What's so good about Paris?
Okay, I had this really specific memory when I was 9 years old, the first time I went to Paris.
Yeah.
And like, I was waiting in rubbish that was like up to my thighs. Because,
sounds like Paris, yeah.
Because the cleaners were on strike. The cleaners in the station were on strike, and it was one of my first experiences of like industrial anything.
Oh heck!
Like industrial disputes, and I mean, look at what's happening there now. They've got the firefighters up against the cops. It's all on.
I was about to try and think of what the like term for being switched on to communism was, and I was like, is it red pilled? No, that's something else entirely. Although it feels like it should be, right?
Well, they have a museum there that's specifically for the Paris Commune, and I was sad because I missioned all the way out to this museum, but it was closed. I couldn't go. I'm sorry, this is a later time.
Yeah.
So I've been there twice. First time when I was 9, second time when I was 22. Yeah, and the second time I tried to do the mission, but it was like the museum was closed, it was Christmas or something.
Oh shit.
And I was like,
that sounds good. I went to Paris once and I got heat stroke and threw up in my hostel room. And I feel like maybe it's time for me to give Paris one more chance, as Jonathan Richman
and
says.
And there's a lot of smells in the subway as well in general. Like this, like you'll be on the train and then suddenly it smells like a urinal and then suddenly it smells not like a urinal.
Scent rich city, yeah. They really got like There's something for every part of your body in Paris.
Pretty much. It's Something for everyone.
Oh, this is beautiful. All right.
Eight.
I will go with Rotterdam.
Oh, lovely.
And
in Holland, yeah. for those of you out there not familiar with the old Rotterdam, canals and such.
Yes, I had this really special memory of going there a couple of years ago. My friends Pew Pew and Jos were living over there. And they're some artists, they're based in Dunedin, they play in Ikare.
Yeah.
And they actually were in my very first edition of A Symphony of Sloths when I did that.
Ah, one of your many musical projects.
One of my many musical projects. So they were in the OG Sloth clan. And I did actually performed A Symphony of Sloths for the first time on the Deluge over there.
Oh,
so
wow.
So I adapted it. It was a full ensemble when I first performed it.
Yeah.
But this was like adapted to the Deluge. So that it was like, when the first ensemble was like all these wine glasses and gamelan instruments and
wow,
rainforest noises and stuff, and I condensed it all into the Deluge.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and Pew actually performed with me there too, and Pew Pew was performing with a Game Boy because both Pew Pew and Jos have a chiptune background, so they're very into the hat Game Boy sound. So it was a very interesting show, and at this place called Worm, if you ever perform in Rotterdam, I highly recommend. I got paid money.
Oh, wow.
I got a meal.
Let's all move to
Rotterdam.
There
wasn't even a door charge. It was great.
That's so cool. All right. It's time to go to Rotterdam.
Seven.
I'm going to say London.
London. All the big... You've gone for like Paris, London, and then Rotterdam. I'm just like wondering if Amsterdam's going to come up or if they just like totally miss out.
No, I don't think Amsterdam's likely to come up.
Ooh,
I'm kind of just doing stuff randomly at the moment. I know what my top five are. I just find it very hard to fill the gaps. And to be honest, I actually have quite a lot of mixed feelings about London. The only reason why it is that it's significant to me. I've had some like good memories there. One being hanging out with my cousins. I have these musical cousins based in London. When I was a child, we actually spent time with Alex's parents. Aww. My cousin Alex, who's sitting next to me.
How's it going?
And that was really cool. But more specifically, when I was about 22, again, same trip, I was there when they were having the student riots about... They were tripling the fee to £9,000 or something.
I remember that. Yeah.
And I was there the day that they changed the law.
Holy
And shit. I was at that demonstration. And I have a scar on my hand from being attacked by a police officer on a horse.
Is this like a history of you getting radicalized in like location? a travelogue of radicalization?
Location.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
See, my main experience of London, and no one ever talks about this and I don't know why, is there are carvings of fish everywhere.
Oh, yeah, it's true. That's a total thing.
It's like all of the like lampposts have little like brass fish on them. All of the banisters have stone fish, and it stressed me out, and because I'd never heard of, like, you go there and you see all these things you've heard about, you're like, there's the Victorian Island
it's
Museum.
Quite, it gets
there,
a bit boring. I'm like, Paul. I don't want to see that stuff. I want to see that kind of stuff, the fishies.
But then no one ever talks about the fish, and I would just turn a corner and there'd be this big stone fish, and I'd be like, oh god.
They're following you, Amelia.
Like, it's like being in an H.P. Lovecraft book. I thought we're in like, yeah. Anyway, okay, six.
Six.
Okay. Sorry, my brain's in. I have to go into the sloth mode. I'm slowing my brain down. Okay. Number six is San Francisco.
Wow. A lot. You've really been traveling, huh?
Yeah, I'm very lucky. And. I'm just choosing that because I actually it really stuck in my mind. I've only been there once for like a day or two when I was a child.
Yeah.
And it was just really sunny, and it's actually quite an aesthetically beautiful city.
Yeah, I mean,
and we have the super steep street that's quite famous. I went up that street and hung out.
Was it like Vertigo?
Not really, because it's kind of zigzagged. So it's actually not too extreme, especially when you like lived. I know when you've traveled around like Dunedin and like Wellington, and they're just always going up and down really steep places all the time.
You heard it here first, San Francisco, poor man's Dunedin.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. And
or a rich person's Dunedin, maybe.
Yeah, that's probably more accurate. But, you know, rich in spirit, poor in spirit, maybe. Mm. Who can say? Maybe Dunedin will come up on the list later. We'll have some music and then we'll come back with the rest of the rest
sounds
the
good.
All right.
Number five.
Your number five tonight is Dick Move with Jerk.
Share my time.
You're listening to the 95 BFM Top 10. We are in the midst of the small top 10 with Marika, talking about the best places in the world that you've been to.
Yeah.
We were just listening to Shame About Alice by Strawberry Story. Before that, we had a little selection from Alex. That was...
Proud Scum, I Am a Rabbit.
Yeah, nice. And before that, we had Dick Move with Jerk. Oh, it's nice to say that word. Let's crack on.
Five.
Okay, this is kind of cheating maybe, but number five.
It's not in the world.
It's, well.
Oh,
it's
okay.
It's the Mallard Space Science Laboratory.
I feel like Paris needed very little explanation and this one needs maybe a small amount more.
Okay, so the reason why I was going to say not so much the space connotation, it's actually that it's technically on the very outskirts of London and Surrey.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a little bit London-y, but...
Why were you at this place?
Mallard Space Science Laboratory. My little brother is a space scientist. He got a scholarship.
That's such a... I mean, people talk about rocket science a lot. I feel like space science is an even better title.
He works with radio telescopes, specifically. So he converts radio waves into images.
That's so rad.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so he... this is actually quite an inspiring story. He failed mathematics at school. They weren't going to let him do maths or physics in his senior years. And my mum was like, no, if my... child wants to study maths and science, then he can just keep on trying. And went in and told the dean off, and then next minute Luke got all these crazy scholarships. Like, he got like about $1 million or something, no, $250,000 of scholarships.
That's
to
so wild
study at the best like university for space science.
I love a hard-ass mum story.
And it was crazy because I got to go there and I got to do a music performance there with his colleagues.
That's so cool. What's an audience of scientists like? Are they like super receptive or are they very clinical?
Yeah, it was actually, they were all like really down to earth. Like, it's not like all Big Bang Theory, you know, like, sorry, I didn't even realise I was making a pun.
It was a very strong pun, it's fine.
Sorry, Luke, I know you're probably upset at me. Yeah, probably embarrassed my brother, but anyway, yeah, and I did a music performance there with Alan, who was like a kind of singer-songwriter guy, and he's from Scotland.
Oh,
and
sick.
He was working, like what his PhD was about was that he was making some instrumental components for this telescope that's going to go closer to the sun than Mars. So I had that super heat resistant and things. And then Roger, who was working on these panorama camera lenses that are going to go on these robots that go to Mars.
That's so cool. I love space science.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, well, I should have been a space scientist.
Yeah.
Let's move on before I start to cry.
Four.
Athens.
Now, you yourself are of Greek extraction. Am I correct?
Yeah. I love it in Athens. Actually, I like Thessaloniki too. I just like all of Greece. But, I'll just say Athens slash Thessaloniki, no.
I mean, you could just say Greece if you want. I mean, the rules are literally yours.
No. Yeah, that's true. Okay. So I love this place because, well, I have family there. I've had so many, like, adventures and so many spiritual awakenings going back there. I got to do this really cool performance at this place called the Athens Museum of Queer Art.
What?
And it's run by, like, these, like, amazing queer women and, like, non-binary people. And then trans people, it's like it's not even like cis men dominated at all. It's
that
just
sounds
like,
so cool.
Yeah.
And that's in Athens.
Yeah. And they do like all these like different installations and performances and have zines and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. And I've just like done like lots of cool stuff there.
Sick. Yeah. All right. I like, I'm enjoying it. I'm like writing all of these down.
Yeah. And I have done a little bit of radical things here and there in Athens as well on the side, you know, got tear gassed a couple of times, saw a car explode, but you know, that's the story for another day.
Shit.
I've got a lot of adventures.
We've got a query about your thoughts on a place.
Okay.
Sunny socialist Scotland and the People's Palace Museum.
I haven't actually been there, but that sounds great.
That's a good recommendation. You should write that down. It sounds right up your alley.
I will definitely take note because I'm hopefully going there.
There may not be any exploding cars.
I really hope that they get their independence. That's all I'm going to say.
Hey, you can...
Get your independence, Scotland. I believe in you.
Oh, get it.
Three.
Gosh. Three.
Okay. Where did it go? Okay. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Number three, I will say the Meteora, which is another part of Greece.
Okay.
But it's like these amazing cliffs, like singular cliffs that are like... kilometers high. I can't remember how many kilometers high, but they're like these individual kind of pillars, and there's a really insane view, and they've been there for like since like sometime in the past. They were like this ancient river, but they've got all these like different churches and stuff like built on them, and you had like these monks had these like DIY like leverage systems.
I'm a DIY monk.
Like, they had these DIY, like, leverage systems, like, before cars and, like, proper, like, I guess, infrastructure, like, engineering infrastructure, where you'd, like, pull, like, a thing and, like, someone would, like, get taken up to the top.
Oh, wow. That sounds rad.
Yeah, between, like, A to B and stuff. And, like, they got there to, like, escape. I think it was, like, at some time in the Ottoman Empire, and they were, like, escaping to look after the Greek Orthodox culture.
Yeah.
But me and Madison, like, were there, and it was really cool. When I was in Greece a couple of years ago, and she came and hung out too, so it was great.
Oh, exciting.
And that I did sounds... like a little performance on top of one of the cliffs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Monks love cliffs, eh? They just love rocks.
Google Meteora and you'll understand what I'm talking about.
Okay, just beautiful. We've got, someone's requested that I put on a song for you to listen to.
Okay.
So I'll see if we can fit it in. But anyway.
Okay.
I don't want to like spoil it in case we do get to play it.
Let's
just keep going with the list. That was way too, like, behind the curtain. I'm sorry. Number two.
Okay. Number two is Cyprus.
Ooh.
And Cyprus is really significant. It's actually me and Alex, my cousin here.
Yeah.
We both, our family is from there.
Ah.
And it's this amazing island, which people often think is a part of Greece, but it's actually got a more complex history. Like, there's a lot of Hellenic culture there.
Yeah.
But also a lot of, like, Turkish-inspired culture and culture from Northern Africa.
Yeah.
Like, Armenian culture. There's a lot of different... It's always been a lot of different cultural diaspora living there.
Yeah.
So, like, it's got this really rich history from all the different people that have come there. And in particular, I'd like to give two special mentions.
Okay.
Or maybe three.
Little Cypriot shout out.
Yeah. So, and another thing I should really mention actually is that the northern part is occupied by Turkey at the moment. So I wasn't able to go to the northern part when I was a child.
Yeah.
It was only when I was there about a year and a half ago was my very first time. And it's still under the military occupation. It was like really awkward and uncomfortable with these like really intense.
Awkward.
Like, they've got these intense, like massive imperial statues, which are like.
Heck.
Like at least 10 meters high or something that you can
see. I see we're back in the radicalization travelogue.
Yeah. But and they have a Turkish flag like engraved into the mountainside that you can see from like the free part. So when you look over north over the occupied part, you see this massive Turkish flag ingrained into the landscape. But my special mentions are for Pedulas, which is my grandfather's village. That's where my auntie Xenia, who is Alex's yaya, also comes from, and it's like in the mountains, and it's like they have amazing cherries and things. And the other special place is the first temple of Aphrodite, which is in Paphos. And Aphrodite is actually has her origins in Cyprus, and then she got co-opted into the Greek Olympian gods and goddesses.
Right.
And her statue, her very first depiction of a statue, is a giant stone that looks like a vulva.
That's so rad. Yeah. Okay, I understand why that's... Well, I mean, actually, how are you going to beat a giant vulva stone? I'm so ready to find out what number one is.
Okay.
One.
The island of Lesbos, which is also my family country.
All right, that makes a lot of sense. How do you beat a giant vulva stone with Lesbos?
Yeah, so that's where my other Greek family comes from.
Sick.
So I've got my Cypriot family, and then my mother's mother, her family comes from Plamari, which is a village in Lesbos, and it's like one of the most beautiful places. It's like I feel so at peace there, and I love swimming in the sea there. It's just like incredible.
There's a really good Facebook speeches. Group called Lesbos Bird Watchers, and it's just people take photos of birds on Lesbos.
Oh, I'll have to look that up. That sounds great.
I'll add you.
Thank you.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
I like that we've kind of come full circle from like your birthplace to your like ancestral homeland.
I had this really cool like experience there. So one of my uncles decided, he got married a couple of years ago, and he decided he'd get married in our grandfather's village.
Yeah.
So like we all like went over, and I was like with my cousins, and like we got to go to this amazing club called The Island, and it's right like on the coastline next to the beach, and like overlooking the harbour, and they had like all these laser lights and fireworks. Sick. And just like all this amazing like remix like Balkan like techno.
Balkan techno.
Like Greek. Sick. And Balkan techno, and it was just like it was going off, and I got home at like when the sun was rising, and there were people still hanging out. And yeah, it was like one of the best nights of my life. And one of my dreams is to like DJ there one day. That's one of my dreams.
That's
one of my
so life cool. goals now. Just before I get you to plug things and we play you out, we've got a fun Cyprus fact.
Oh.
Cyprus gained independence from the UK in 1959.
It's true.
It's true.
There was a civil war, and it's a part of the very complex history, and the concept around self-autonomy in Cyprus is very complicated because of all the different dynamics.
Yeah, I can
and still
imagine.
Still are, obviously. But story for another day.
Story for another day. Okay, plug some things. How can people listen to the music you make? How can they see you while you're up in Auckland? What's going on?
Okay. That's really... Oh my God, there's so much happening. Well, I'll just go in order.
Yeah.
So my last performance with the Albert Park Queer Pavilion, that's happening on Friday at 2 p.m. at Albert Park. And I'll be doing live music.
Awesome.
On my deluge.
Sick.
Class War on the Dance Floor is the name of that particular music project. So I'll be doing live Class War on the Dance Floor performance, and there'll be these different performance art inspiration, like improvised things happening.
That sounds very cool.
There's going to be a piñata. We made a piñata this week, so there'll be a piñata. Don't know what's going to be in the piñata. It could be anything. Come and find out. And there'll be a jam happening afterwards of Fire and the Rumble and Ari, I think, coordinating a little like open jam.
So very exciting.
So people can come and hang out and contribute to the jam if you like. And then I'm playing at The Loud and Proud.
Yep, so that's a music showcase happening on the 15th at Audio Foundation, isn't it?
Yes, and it starts quite a bit earlier, doesn't it?
Because
quite
a lot of bands
lineup. So I'm playing in two acts that night.
Hot.
Yeah, I'm playing in Moody V and the Menstrual Cycle on electric violin and some tambourine and vocals with Madison, the incredible Madison Van Staden, who's an amazing songwriter. So we'll be performing, and it's like one of our first gigs in 2 years live.
That's
We've done a bit
so
of recording,
cool.
but you know, it's really exciting. I'm so excited. And I'm also doing a guest appearance with the Lesbian Death Sluts from Hell.
I saw Lesbian Death Sluts from Hell on a hat, and I was like, I need to know who this is. So I'm glad that they're going to be playing in Auckland in like a week and a half.
Well, last time I was visiting, they asked me to just play with them at this house. There was improvised, like, come play at this house party with us. And I had like one practice with them, and then it all happened. And they're like, oh, next time, come and play again. So I'm excited having a practice next week. And then... I'm also doing the performance live on air later on with Kiria.
Yeah, you'll be on Freak the Sheep later.
Yeah, so you can stay tuned if you want to hear my Class War on the Dance Floor stuff. And
Oh yeah, and check out Headlock Grave on SoundCloud.
Oh, is that your project?
That's my mate's band.
Oh, okay.
They're
okay.
just getting started.
Shout out to Alex's friend.
Sex. So you have
just getting started, so they'd appreciate a hand.
Nice.
Love that. Okay, sweet. So you have chosen a song by Moody V and the Menstrual Cycle. So that's who you were just talking about. You're performing
with. Yeah, that's one of my
bands. On
the 15th.
And this track is called Dreams.
Yay.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you.
A satisfying and justified ranking of that thing. The 95 BFM Small Top 10.